Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I suspect that most of us are unaware of what we're really saying when we confess the creed. I look to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. For if we truly believe in the bodily resurrection, then how can we buy into the popular piety that the entire point of Christianity is to believe in Jesus so that when we die, our souls go to heaven? As if dying and going to heaven is the sum total of our future existence. Most Christians, unduly influenced by Gnostic notions that the body is unimportant or even evil, do not actually believe in the resurrection. They think that they believe in the resurrection, but what they actually believe has something to do with souls departing the body after death, as if the body is merely a shell or a husk to be discarded. We imagine heaven to be this place full of disembodied spirits floating on clouds and strumming on harps. No wonder then that our pictures of heaven seem rather boring. But if that were the case, then why did Jesus rise from the dead with a physical body? He himself attested that he was not a spirit or a ghost. Touch me, he said, and see that a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. After Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples did touch him, and he ate and drank with them. He was very much alive. And throughout the New Testament, our resurrection was always connected to his. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, writes Paul, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Resurrection is not about our soul going to heaven when we die. Resurrection is about our soul coming back to our body when Jesus returns on the last day. The resurrection of the body is about new bodies made full of life, with flesh and bone and beating hearts and breathing lungs. St. Paul writes in Romans 8 that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And not only the creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. We so often think that the point of our faith is the salvation only of our souls. But here the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8 that it is about the redemption of our bodies and that in this hope we are saved. Now to be clear, I don't deny that the souls of Christians do go to heaven upon death. I just deny that that's the end of the story or that God is done with us at that point. I mean, we do have statements like Jesus saying to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But it doesn't negate the hope of the bodily resurrection. In fact, Jesus and the Bible have very little to say about what happens after we die. They're much more interested in what happens after life, after death. Think about this. In today's reading from Revelation 21, we learn that the heaven that exists right now will be remade, as will the earth. Neither one is our final destination. Listen to what John writes. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. If the first heaven is going to pass away, that means the heaven that exists right now is not the forever heaven. And this can be a little disconcerting if you're hearing it for the first time. I remember teaching on the book. Excuse me. I remember teaching on the book of Revelation at my first congregation. And when we got to the lesson on Revelation 21, there was this old, dyed-in-the-wool Missouri Synod Lutheran lady named Irene who stood up and shouted at me, "I never heard it before, and I don't like it, so I'm leaving." And of course she hadn't heard it before because most pastors neglect the importance of the resurrection. They shortchange people this hope at funerals by only preaching the half hope of the soul's rest and not the whole enchilada. Irene had been cheated out of the better story. I pleaded with her to stay and to search the scriptures with us to learn more, but she stubbornly refused. I don't like it, she said, and I'm not listening. And she marched out of class. She never came to Bible class ever again. Ironically, the name Irene means peace in Greek. She didn't have a lot of peace because she'd bought into the half-truth that the Christian story is just about dying and going to heaven. Who cares about the body? Who cares about the new creation? But Christianity is not about escape from an earthly body and the soul's flight to heaven. It is about the marriage of heaven and earth, because in the Bible, heaven and earth are made for each other. And in his vision, John sees the holy city, heavenly Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven to the earth. Today we hear the crucified and risen Lord Jesus declare, "Behold, I am making all things new." And the surprising truth is that the Christian hope is not just to die and go to heaven, but for heaven to come to us and for heaven to renew the earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So what will this new heaven and new earth be like? Well, there are pictures given in Scripture, and they're not of floating on clouds and strumming harps. They're difficult for us, though, because we can't imagine anything truly new. Things that are new in this world still crumble or fade eventually. The computer that you bought last week is already an obsolete dinosaur. Your new car will eventually rust or break down. New clothes fade and become threadbare. And a new pop song or hit movie eventually loses its freshness and its appeal. But Jesus says, look, I make all things new. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new you, a new me. And the world that Christ renews at his second coming will not be new in the way that supposedly new things are in this world. This new world will not rust. This new world will not grow old or die, for death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And the wonderful reality of this world without end is that it won't be a complete break with the world that we know now, the creation that God himself calls very good, because there will be some connection, some kinship, like the connection between a shadow and the real object. Jesus comes to make all things new, not all new things. And much of this world will be recognizable to us. According to the visions of Isaiah and John, the new heaven on earth will have many recognizable features like mountains and rivers and trees and even animals. God isn't going to just take this world that he lovingly created and throw the whole thing on the trash heap. Instead, he will set it free from its bondage to death and decay and let it loose with all of its vibrant, beautiful color and creative wonder. And we ourselves will have new bodies with terra firma beneath our feet, grass and dirt and rocks and breezes blowing through our hair. C.S. Lewis provides a beautiful analogy of this creation in his novel. I just hope that those breezes will not be full of pollen, if you can tell this morning. But Lewis provides a beautiful analogy of the creation, this new creation, in his novel, The Last Battle, in which he depicts the destruction of the old world, the Narnia that is marred by sin, and sets forth a new Narnia that is like the old in many ways and yet even more real. The novel's characters struggle to find the words to describe it. And they finally decide that it is like somewhere in the Narnian world, and yet different. Things are more colorful, deeper, more vibrant, more like the real thing. And Diggory Kirk finally explains of the world they left behind. That was not the real Narnia. That had a beginning and an end. It was a shadow or copy of the real Narnia, which has always been here and always will be. Just as our own world, England and all, is only a show or a copy of something in Aslan's world. You need not mourn over Narnia, Lucy. All of the old Narnia that mattered, all the dear creatures, have been drawn into the real Narnia through the door. And of course it is different. As different as a real thing is from a shadow, or as waking life is from a dream. And then the narrator, Lewis, says the difference between the old Narnia and the new Narnia was like that. It was a deeper country where every rock and flower and blade of grass looked as if it meant more. I cannot describe it any better than that. If you ever get there, you will know what I mean. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to get there. The best thing about the new world isn't even going to be our new bodies. It's not even going to be the grand family reunion with our fellow believers who have died and gone to be with Christ. The best part will be seeing Jesus face to face. Again, the words of Revelation. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. The same Jesus who died for our sins, the same Jesus who rose again to give us this new life and this hope of the resurrection, is the same Jesus who will comfort us, who will wipe away the tears from our eyes, who will shepherd us with his presence. And it's real. It will be. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a dream. It's not an illusion or a vision that will vanish. It is the picture of the real deal that is to come, and that Jesus has sealed with his blood. Yes, the heaven that exists now is not the heaven that will remain forever. That's why I actually hate the hymn, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Earth without sin and death is the best picture of what heaven will be like. We should tear that hymn out of our hymnal. Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he makes all things new. So Jesus is the unchanging God who changes everything. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.